there we go. Yeah, that's pretty good. No worries. All right, very good to be here, and thank you for, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to be here and be with the fellas today. I'm just getting organized here. You'll have to forgive me. My voice isn't the best at the moment, but we're getting there. Now, let me see. Alrighty. Now, I don't normally speak that long anyway, but as I said, my sinuses are going haywire at the moment with all the pollens and smoke and all the rest of it. So I've worked really hard for quite a few days now to have this. I've got a little series, and it took me forever to get this worked out, but once I settled on what I thought God wanted me to say this week, it all came very quickly. So I've got an awful lot to say, but I've tried to distill things down as much as I can. So just to save my voice, I must probably be very brief. I've got a lot to say, but we'll be very, very brief. So bear with me there. And if I cough and splutter, that's all right. I'm not dying. if I do keel over, someone come and do CPR or something. But is anyone here from Queensland? You're from Queensland. What was that place you're from? Where, how do you say it? Westmar. Westmar. Where's that? Oh, okay. Out west. Okay. Cool. Cool. You blokes are from Moree. Yeah, all right. Cool. yeah, and it's pretty dry out there at the moment. Yeah. Yeah, I know Darren, my brother's place is just at Tamworth there. It's just all Gunnedah. But we need to pray for rain. Anyway, good to have you along, fellas. And some of you, hopefully we'll get to know you a bit as the next, what have we got, about 36 hours? Or maybe 40 hours. It was a very short camp. But trust we'll get to know you a little bit. Someone said something along these lines. This is not the exact quote, but they said, almost any man can father a child, but that doesn't mean you're a good father. And so I want to speak on the Christian dad. The Christian dad. Now, I understand that, put your hand up if you're a dad. Yeah, most of us are dads. Put your hand up if you're a granddad. Okay. Brother Helena, how many grandkids have you got?
10.
10? 10. Oh. Who else has got grandkids? Anyone? How many grandkids you got, Ross? He's lost count. You want? Have you got more than 10? No. No, okay. Brother, how many grandkids have you got?
Six.
I've only got 5. I haven't even started yet. You imagine when Nathan Bard gets going. I mean, he's going to have about 120 grandkids. But anyway, what makes a Christian dad? You know, we'll pray in a moment. And we're not going to have a Bible reading as such because we're going to look at a few passages here for the next maybe 15, 20 minutes. We're going to put a little platform down tonight. And then for the remaining messages, I'm aiming to be really practical. So we'll be sort of like a machine gun, just firing things out there. If you can, I don't know, there doesn't seem to be too many notebooks around. Tomorrow morning, bring a notebook with you. And if you haven't got a notebook or a pen, maybe we can maybe get some paper or pens from somewhere, because it'll be very practical. Robin and I were heading up to the airport. I preached in Melbourne on Sunday, and the flight didn't leave till 6:45 Monday night, 3 days ago. So we basically had to fill in the day. And so we were driving through Melbourne, we stopped in at a place called Southland. It's a new suburb, a newish suburb south of Melbourne, southeast. And went into a shopping centre there. And I was just walking down the looking for a gun shop or a camera shop, and just trailing Robin as she was looking at dress shops and so on. And here are these two young fellas. come down, maybe 15, 16, 17. One of them let off a firecracker or something like that, startled the fella behind him, and the fella said, "Hey, what was that?" And so then this young fella got a skateboard here, and he says, "All right, come on, have a go, have a pop, come on." I'm thinking, oh, this is interesting. This is a brand new Westfields, and there's going to be a brawl here. You know, you hear about the violence in Melbourne and so on. And I thought, hang on, there we go. So I followed these fellas. They just, I think he chickened out because the fella that the man they did it to was bigger than him, and he looked fairly tough. So in the end, they chickened out. But I followed them, you know, down, and they got into the target, and I lost them. But I was going to go up to them and say, "Listen, fellas, how about I buy you lunch and have a talk to you? If you'd like to, would you like some lunch?" I lost them. So in the end, I thought I'd better go back and find my wife. I guarantee you that fella and his younger sidekick that were just around trying to cause trouble, I can almost guarantee you they grew up without a dad. I can almost guarantee it. In fact, the statistics show that the reason for violence and that sort of behaviour in society is because kids grow up without a dad. And that is a tragedy. I grew up without a dad, but it wasn't through... It was just the misfortune of my father died when I was three. I don't remember my dad, and my brother Lyndon was one. He definitely doesn't remember our dad. And so I grew up, I was raised in a single-parent family. I know what that's like. But we did have an advantage that my mother is a wonderful Christian lady, and my grandpa was an awesome Christian man. And my mum had the common sense to bring mature-age Christian men that she could trust into our lives, you know, just to teach us some of the things that she had no idea about, like playing footy, playing cricket, fishing, all that sort of stuff, and being an example, a Christian example. But so many young people today just don't have that advantage. In the Bible, there's many, many fathers we could look at, and you read through the list, the Abraham and Noah and Eli, Samuel, and Philip had four daughters. There's lots of examples of dads in the Bible. And so I want to look at five of them, just not in any depth at all. Just want to make mention of five here tonight, and then we'll close and so on. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given to us. It's been a nice day. Thank you for sending the fires away, and pray that you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we look at this matter of what makes a Christian dad. And as we look at your word over these next, really, not even 2 days, Lord, please speak to us, Lord, in some way. We pray for your Holy Spirit's work through us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. Let's go to a few verses here. If you haven't got your Bible, that's fine. Just sit back, relax. I'll read these verses anyway. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. This is the Luke genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. I want to look at the first father, or the first human father, this fellow called Adam. Come over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So Adam was an old fellow when he died. Who knows how many sons and daughters Adam had? We know that they started off with Cain and Abel and then Seth, but who knows? There could have been hundreds, because they lived a long time in those days. Now, Adam had really no example, no human example of fatherhood to follow Well, as I was speaking to Pastor this afternoon, when Adam used to, and we don't know how long he did this, but Adam used to meet with the Lord in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. I was trying to figure out this afternoon how long that went for. I don't know. Was it just a few hours? Was it a few years? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It seems that was the custom of the Lord to walk with Adam. And I'm sure that the Lord, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but maybe the Lord gave him some instruction. But he definitely didn't have an earthly father as an example. Now, what was his error? Come over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. This is just after the fall of man. Genesis chapter 3, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And so on. Thorns and thistles and sweat. Life was about to become very hard for Adam. So what was Adam's error? There's probably a lot of errors there, but what was his main error? Anyone want to throw something at me? What was Adam's main error? Yes?
Listening to his wife.
Okay. As someone said, the serpent, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. That's the old joke. Listening to his wife. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to say any more. We've got to say what I want now. There's no ladies here. This is what I put down. This is maybe this is his main error. He lost fellowship with his creator. He lost fellowship with God. Of all the things that he lost, they lost innocence at that time when they took of that fruit. They lost innocence. They lost the Garden of Eden. They lost a comparatively easy life. But they lost the fellowship of God. And the ramifications, to use a big word, and here's another big word, the ramifications of that lost fellowship was catastrophic. The first recorded child in the Bible, who was it? What was the name of the first son? Anyone? Cain. What was Cain? What was his claim to fame? Yes. He was a murderer. So the human race was off to a bad start. Here's Adam had this perfect environment, which goes to show you environment has very little to do with how you function as a person or as a Christian. It's not the environment, it's what's on the inside. He lost his innocence. He lost his fellowship with God. His first son was a murderer. So what's the application? Give me an application. This is just like we're having tiny little Bible studies here. What's the application from the first human father? This is my application. Walk with God. Keep your fellowship with God. If you fail at everything else as a father, and by the way, Caleb, you're not a father yet, okay? And you young fellas, you aren't dads yet, okay? But one day the chances are that you're going to find a girl, okay, and you're going to get married, you're going to have kids. And if you're like the barge, you'll have 20 or 30 kids. But it doesn't matter. The chances are that most of you will find a young lass there, and that's we could speak a whole camp on that, on marriage. And so we're not going to get into that this time. So I want to focus on fatherhood. But one day, most of you will be fathers. So if you think, well, this is really irrelevant, I'm just a kid. You know, your brain's an amazing thing, okay? So take this in and just lock it away somewhere in the cranium, okay? Just lock it away, because one day you might need some of this. One day you might need some of these principles. Walk with God, even if you fail at everything else. Walk with God. Here's the second father. I've called this one the foolish father. 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Verse 50. And I've got the wrong verse here, but that's fine. I've written the wrong verse down. Actually, I've got a copy here. Here we go. Verse 24. I don't like preaching from an iPad. I've done it a few times, but I'd rather have a piece of paper. But I've changed my notes so many times and I can hardly read my own scribble. So that's all right. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 24. Where are we? Did I say 15:24? 1 Samuel 15:24. See what happens when you get... No, 1 Samuel 15:24. That's the one. Here we go. Okay. And Saul said unto Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:24, Saul said unto Samuel, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, here is Saul. Here is Saul. He will go down as a fool. He disobeyed God. And the application there is to obey God. The first test of leadership is to obey God. Then there was the failed father. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And let me see. 1 Kings chapter 1. I hope I've got this verse right. 1 Kings chapter 1. This is King David. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 5. So Saul wasn't much of a king, much of a father. Adam lost his fellowship with God. Saul disobeyed. And there's so many others around here we could look at. There was Eli the priest. There was Samuel the prophet. But let's have a look at David here. I call King David the failed father. 1 Kings 1, 5. This is towards the end of David's life. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Look at verse 6. And his father, that's David, had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Now David had a lot of wives, and he had a lot of kids. But David was a man after the heart of God, was a great warrior, was a great king, but he wasn't much of a father. Absalom, what was Absalom famous for? He was a traitor. Yeah, and he tried to have his father killed, tried to take over the kingdom of Israel. Who was David's firstborn? Firstborn was Amnon. What was Amnon famous for? He did a terrible thing to his sister. That was his firstborn. And then we have this fella, Adonijah. And the Bible says that his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, what hast thou done so? So what do you think, what was David's main, well, there's a number of them. Give me a main error of David as a father. Someone throw it at me. I'm sorry? He was passive. Okay, very, very good. He was passive. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. What did he do to after Amnon assaulted his sister? What did David do? See, that's tut tut tut. That's not very good. What did he do to Absalom? Remember the story of Absalom? He tried to save him, and it was Joab came and said, "Now David, you are by the way you are acting, you'd be happy if we all died and Absalom lived. What are you doing?" He was passive. He didn't do anything. And then we've just read here about Adonijah. He never pulled him up. So basically, he failed to discipline. Now, of course, this is made very difficult because David's example was very, very bad. David's example, we know what David did. He was a great man. And yet he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he committed murder, and he committed, there's a lot of deception. He tried to deceive. And because of this, it's very hard to discipline when that's your example. But he failed to discipline. So what is the application when we look at the life of the failed father, which was King David? It was to correct your kids while you can. We're going to say more about this tomorrow, hopefully. Correct your kids while you can. Then there was the fleshly father. There was the foolish father, the failed father. There was the fleshly father. 1 Kings chapter 11. This is David's son, Solomon. Now, if anyone had a, what would we say, in the we'd say a free kick in life. If anyone had a what am I trying to say? They got a head start. Is that it? A head start. If anyone had a head start in life, it was Solomon. I mean, David provided for, you know, to build the house of the Lord, and he had this massive army, and he was respected over the known world. And so along comes Solomon, and Solomon had a really good start. But then look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. For he built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. Look at verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Here's Solomon, the fleshly father. What was Solomon's main mistake? Main error. I wouldn't say mistake, it was a sin. What was his main sin or his main error? The life of Solomon. Someone? Too many wives. Too many wives? Okay, that was one of them. What's another one? No restraint. Okay. I'm thinking here along the lines of who wrote most of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs? It was a fellow called Solomon. So we have that saying today, do what I say, don't do what I do. So here's Solomon. What do they say? The wisest man to ever live. I call Solomon the greatest failure in the Bible. I don't know whether he was, but I just have always considered him the greatest failure in the Bible. God gave him, he said, I'm going to give you this understanding, this wisdom, because you asked for it. And he says, on top of that, I'm going to give you riches and honor and all anything you want. All you got to do is ask for it, Solomon. Solomon had it made. But he said, in the end, don't do what I do, do what I say. He was a what? He was a hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite says. Hypocrite says one thing and does another. If Solomon had just paid attention to the actual proverbs that he wrote, his life may have been different. So along came his son. What was his son's name? The famous one? Rehoboam. What did Rehoboam do? He made an error that split the nation. Instead of following the Proverbs, you know, where you honor the hoary head, the silver head, the bald people, you know, you honor those and so on. He said, forget that. I'm going to go and talk to my mates. So he took the advice of his mates. And he forsook the advice of the older fellows and had a bit more experience, and God split the nation right down the middle. And then so many times there was civil war and all the... And it never really recovered. Never recovered. There was the north and there was the south. So what's the application from Solomon? Don't be a hypocrite. Now, if the truth be known, we are all hypocrites at some time, you know. But we need to ask God, as Pastor was saying before, there's no use trying in our flesh. God has to take that out of our lives. Here's the last father. The last father. And this is a positive one. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. This man actually wasn't actually a real father. He was a stepfather. I'm talking about Joseph. Because Joseph physically was not the father of Jesus. That was the Holy Ghost. But he became known as the father of Joseph. He was the stepfather of Joseph. Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, we would say betrothed, or maybe in today's language we'd say engaged. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Here's a few things about Joseph. He acted nobly despite not understanding the circumstances. Here's Mary, Joseph. They weren't married. They were espoused. They were engaged to be married in the Jewish way. And she was found with child. So what's Joseph thinking? He's thinking, she didn't tell me there's another fella. There's another fella somewhere. So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He was a just man. He said, I'm going to put her away. And under the law, as I understand it, they were able to do that. Before they got to the marriage stage, if there was adultery or whatever it was during that betrothal stage, then the wife could be put away. So he had every right to do that. But he said, I'm going to put her away. I'll just do it on the quiet because I don't want to embarrass her. Because she seems like such a lovely girl. That's what he's thinking. You could think he's most probably confused, thinking, what's going on here? She's the most beautiful girl and we love each other, and yet she's with child. What's going on here? He was obviously perplexed, confused, uncertain, but he still did the right thing. He did the right thing. Then, of course, the Lord comes along and says, whoa, Joseph, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You better believe it. Big things are about to happen. And then he obeyed the Lord. Several times the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and said, listen, do this, do that, go there, whatever. And he just did it. There's several other mentions of Joseph. There's not a lot said about Joseph in the Bible. There's several other mentions about, and I've got the verses there. We don't have time to go there, but they just said, is this not, when they were talking about Jesus, is this not Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? Look at all the preaching. Look at the miracles he's doing. This is Joseph's son. So Joseph was around for a bit while Jesus was raised. And after that, we don't know what happened to him, really. But I think he was a good man. He was a good man. The main positive, well, he took one positive is he took the righteous option, even at the risk of social embarrassment and ridicule. He was a faithful father or stepfather. We could go on and on and on with these, but my voice has about had it and my time is up. This weekend, I've got another, I don't know if I'm going to get through everything, but I've got five. We might have to squash one into two, and I want to just, as I said, I want to be really, really brief. But this weekend we're going to see that every dad needs to be the following. They need to be a personal trainer. You know that? Dads need to be personal trainers, Colossians 3. They need to be teachers, Ephesians chapter 6. They need to be policemen, Hebrews chapter 12. They need to be coaches, 1 Corinthians 4, and they need to be security guards, Proverbs 22. So, fellas, those of you who are dads, those of you who are going to become dads, we need to be all of these things. We're going to look at these passages in the next 36 hours or whatever it is. And I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to be firing off like a machine gun points. So get ready to write stuff down. All the ways that we can be a Christian dad that honors the Lord. I'm glad that the Bible is what it is, and the Bible doesn't whitewash the story of man. The Bible doesn't whitewash that. It gives us these accounts. God tells us exactly what he wants us to know, and he tells us the bad bits as well as the good bits. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So it says in Romans, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So I just pray, my heart's desire is this weekend that maybe God will just teach us something that will help us to be better dads. And if you're not a dad, maybe you might be able to just lock something away for the time that maybe God will give you the privilege, the extreme privilege of being a dad and of being a dad that honors the Lord.